This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is Bridget Ayer.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
We've got a guest that I'm looking forward to hearing what this is all about here in just a minute. But I do want to remind everybody that our golf outing is coming up May 22nd. Mark that day on your calendar if you haven't done that already. And plan on having a great day. It's going to be a sunshiny day. It's going to be 70 degrees, partly cloudy with a light breeze. Or not.
we show up rain or shine, right?
We do, absolutely, and we have a great time. We've been doing the golf outing for about 6 or 7 years now, and we always have fun. It was cold 1 year. We moved it back a little further into May to try and avoid that. But whatever it is, it'll be a lot of fun. It begins with Mass about 11 o'clock in the morning, quick lunch out on the links for the golf course, for the golf for the day, then back for a great dinner and a little bit of a speaker and surprises. It's just a fun day. And you can.
I'm looking forward to it.
If you would like to underwrite or sponsor a hole, just give us a call at 317-870-8400. Ask for Barb, 317-870-8400. Or if you'd like to sign up a foursome or golf as an individual, either way, just give us a call. We're happy to sign you up. Still have lots of slots available. We've got a number of people that have already signed up, and it's looking good. It's going to be a fun event, but we do need a few more golfers. So 317-870-8400, or you can check out our website, catholicradioindy.org. You can sign up right there, and you can pay for it all online as well. Again, the number here is 317-870-8400, or the website, catholicradioindy.org.
And we're going to talk to our guest today. My guest in studio is Marilyn Rausch. She is from St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Indianapolis, and she is here to talk to us about a prayer service called Taze Prayer. Welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm really, actually, I'm very familiar with Taze Prayer. I've been accustomed to it, or I've gone to different prayer services, but Jim didn't really know about it.
I didn't, but first, where is your parish?
St. Michael the Archangel. It's about 30th and Tibbs on the west side of Indianapolis, close to Marion University.
Oh, yeah, and close to Ritter High School as well.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right. I knew it sounded familiar, and usually in my mind I can kind of place where that parish is, and I knew I should know that. I do know now again.
And what's really interesting is that Taze is very unique. Tell us about what is Taze prayer?
Okay. Well, Taze, we call it Taze.
Taze, okay.
I'm not sure the correct, but it's French, so who knows. but the Taze prayer originated in a community in France in about the 1940s. It's an ecumenical community, primarily men. At least it was originally. There are about 100 interdenominational Catholic and Protestant men who live together to serve and to pray together. This community was founded shortly after World War, and as a
World War II?
World War II.
Okay,
yes, as a place where people could come to concentrate on prayer and spirituality as they're working. In the community, they have, I believe, 3 times a day when everything stops, and at that time they go into their church. And the main purpose for that was to have an unencumbered time of prayer, where there wasn't a lot of things going on, that they could just come and spend some time with simple song, that repetitive song that forms almost a mantra type. Feeling to open up the space within so that they could concentrate on their relationship with God, their conversation with God, and then they would leave and go back to their work. So we don't call this actually Taze prayer as much as we call it prayer in the spirit of Taze.
Okay.
It's been done in Indianapolis actually quite a few places, mostly in the Protestant churches. They have Episcopalian and a Christian church, and they have it, I believe, even at the University of Indianapolis on a regular basis.
So one thing when I did a little research on this, the one thing I noticed was that the original community, the emphasis was to build ecumenism, kind of bring people together from Catholics and Protestants together in a prayer format. And then it was also had something to do with service.
Yes.
So talk about those two things and the original goal, and then we can talk about what you're doing at St. Michael's.
Okay. I'm not really an expert on the original.
Okay. That's okay.
But the people who were involved in this worked in the fields, worked in the farms. They worked in offices on the grounds. They also had led prayer discussions and other kinds of discussions during that time. The uniqueness came when they simply stopped and came together to pray.
And I think what's really so attractive in our society in terms of, I do a lot of writing and all sorts of different things, but I've done a couple stories one on contemplative prayer, one on the Adoration Chapel, and I'm familiar with Taze. So I think that there's such a draw to something like that, that is quiet.
We live in a very noisy world, and it's getting noisier all the time with the, we're busy about many things, and it's nice to have a time and a place where we can pull in and recollect ourselves. Prayer is a time of conversation with God, whatever form it's going to take.
That was my next question. Oh. No, okay. Go ahead. No, okay. Say that again. What is prayer?
Okay, for me, prayer is conversation with God in whatever form it takes. For some people, this is communal and more structured. For some people, this is in movement and dance. For some people, it's in song. For some people, it's just withdrawing into the quiet of your own center and finding God where God is for you at that time.
So I'd like to talk about, well, first, I better reintroduce you. My guest is Marilyn Rausch. She is here talking about Taize prayer. Did I say it better? And she's from St. Michael, the Archangel Parish in Indianapolis. So you actually have a Taize prayer service at St. Michael's. Tell us when that is, and then I want you to talk a little bit about the format, how long it lasts, what actually happens.
Okay. Well, our service is usually on the fourth Thursday of the month.
Okay.
At 7 o'clock in the evening.
In the parish, right?
In the parish. It's okay. in our parish church. It runs about an hour.
Okay.
In traditional Taize, there's a great deal of quiet time. We tried doing a large block of quiet time and found that many people are not able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They become restless and anxious almost in the quiet. So the way we've done it is broken it into several. We have spiritual readings, sometimes scripture, sometimes different authors, followed with by a period of maybe 5 minutes of quiet, followed by you're brought out of that quiet gently with one of these Taize songs, the mantra-like refrain. And these refrains become very haunting. It's like something you get caught in your mind and you can't quite get rid of it. And the nice thing is carrying that through you during the day, it sort of brings you back for a minute into that.
And are these kind of like Gregorian chants, or could you maybe give us a more explanation of that?
They are not Gregorian chant. That's
okay. That's a different time.
That's a different time.
I know.
They are very gentle melodies.
Okay.
And for instance, one of the melodies, it just repeats the name Jesus.
Okay.
Let all creation bend a knee to the Lord. And then it sings that over and over and over again. Melodies are very, very easy to pick up. Now, we have one person who plays the piano, and we have a song leader.
Okay.
And some places will have a full a scola of musicians. And this works well for us. So that's the way we do it.
Now, are there candles? Is it dark? I mean, kind of describe, because if you've never been to something like this, it is really, really peaceful.
Yes.
And it really allows you to enter into the quiet. I guess what's one thing I love about being Catholic is, you know, the smells and the bells and all that. I guess if you've grown up with that, it's just a really good way to connect with God. At least it is for me.
Right. Well, atmosphere is very important with this, because you want to bring that noise down, both the visual noise as well as the auditory noises that are present. So we use a large number of candles. We've gone to the electronic candles just for safety. But we use over 200 candles around the floor in front of the altar and on different setups with it. The rest of the church is virtually dark.
Okay.
We have a small amount of light in the front for the musicians and for those who are reading, but that's it. We also try to keep movement to a minimum. This was actually our first service that we had was attended by a friend of our pastor at the time who was from Taizé. We did not know that at
the
time.
Oh, wow.
And
did he say, you're doing this all wrong? Or?
No. He actually was very complimentary about it.
Good.
But he did say that we had too much movement, that we had people going from the seats up to read and then back. And he said that's very distracting to him. So we have the portable mics in the pews, and the readers stay in the pews. We do not move.
Mm.
And so the only movement actually is the person who's playing the piano. Mm-hmm. The cantor sits next to the piano, so
wow.
We don't have any movement other than the candles.
So I'm curious. I think the first time that I went to a Taizé prayer service was during Advent. Now, does it change for the liturgical season? Can it change, or how can you describe that? Because I just remember doing it at Advent, and I think that they did it at Our Lady of Mount Carmel here just recently, you know, during maybe the Lenten season, you know.
This basic structure of the Taizé prayer is the same.
Okay.
It's the quiet, a few readings, the songs, and then some prayers of intercession, and then at the very end, people are invited to come up to the front of the church, and we have a central candle that is not electronic, sitting there, and they open their candles, or they bring out their candles and light them, and then we have a large sandboxes where they can put the prayers in, and that symbolizes taking their prayer and placing it at the altar to remain there while they're out doing their own things.
That's really neat. Well, we're talking with Marilyn Rausch about Taizé prayer, and we need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Besides going to Mass each Sunday, we're all encouraged to spend some time with our Lord each week, to shut out distractions, present our prayers to God, and then just listen. In today's hectic world, that sounds impossible, doesn't it? Well, chances are there's an adoration chapel in a Catholic church not far from where you live, a place where you can spend an hour or just a few minutes in the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, in a quiet, peaceful setting, where you can really talk to Jesus, and more importantly, He can talk to you. Many chapels are open 24 hours a day. Here are some of the places where you'll find adoration chapels: All Saints Parish, Our Lady of the Greenwood, St. Barnabas, St. Luke's Parish, and St. Michael the Archangel. Why not stop by soon? Jesus is there, and He is waiting to talk to you.
If it wasn't for you all, I don't know what I would do.
Catholic Radio Indy.
What an absolute blessing you are.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and I'm here with my guest, Marilyn Rausch, and we're talking about Taze prayer in St. Michael's the Archangel Parish in Indianapolis. So welcome back. Here we are again. So talk a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in Taze and how you happened to bring it to St. Michael's and how long it's been going on.
Okay. Well, I'm
a lot of questions there,
but I'm very involved with St. Mary of the Woods.
Okay.
The Sisters of Providence, and they have a Taze prayer once a month.
Okay.
On Tuesday evenings.
Down at St. Mary's of the Woods?
At St. Mary of the Woods.
Okay.
In the big church.
Okay.
They attract people from all over Terre Haute, West Terre Haute, and the surrounding area. So it's quite a large service.
And that's such a beautiful church.
Yes.
to have,
yes,
you know, that kind of a service in.
Yeah, yeah, it is absolutely beautiful. And
my sister got married there, as a matter of fact. She went to St. Mary's of the Woods, so she graduated from there.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
A while ago, yeah.
Beautiful.
I walked over the bridge accidentally. There's a story about that bridge.
Yes.
Tell the story of the bridge. I walked over there without by myself, but my little brother was on, he was like 3 years old, riding his little scooter, and I think I was safe that way, but I don't know, technically.
Well, there's a bridge that separates the college from the mother house of the sisters. Now, it's the campus has rearranged itself a little bit, so it's not quite as dramatic as it was back initially. But the thought of crossing the bridge meant that you were going from the college to enter the convent.
Yeah, and I was just out there. It was my sister's, getting married, and I'm just wandering around the campus. And
boy, I've wandered around that campus myself. I wonder if I've ever crossed the bridge.
Well, I crossed the bridge, and my sister's like, "Uh-oh, you crossed the bridge." I'm like, "What bridge?" I said, "Well, Jody was with me. My little brother was with me." So I said, I think maybe I can get out on a technicality. Because if you walk across by yourself, right? That's the story I heard.
Yeah, so, I'm not sure of all the details of that one. When I initially went to St. Mary of the Woods, I was 12 years old. And there was a high school there. So I attended high school on campus, a boarding mm-hmm. school. And this was a school that was primarily for girls who were considering entering the convent. Mm-hmm. So for us to walk over the bridge was
a big deal.
A big deal. So, and then eventually I did enter the convent and stayed for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm. I used to live in Terre Haute for 10 years, and even from Indianapolis here, it's only a little over an hour and 15 minute drive, yeah, or something like that. It's worth the trip. The campus is like tearing 100 years off the calendar.
Wow, it really is.
I mean, you drive over there on the freeway and everything's normal. You get over to West Terre Haute there and go out to the campus, and all of a sudden you drive in there and it's like, gee, it's quiet, it's peaceful. There's, neat landscaping, old historic buildings, and it's just a whole atmosphere all about it. And we probably should slip in a little. I believe they're still doing the Sunday brunch there, I think.
Yes, they do.
And so if you're looking for a little kind of Sunday trip, a little destination, straight out 70, straight west on 70. And when you get over to Terre Haute, you have to figure it out from there. But St. Mary of the Woods, they have a wonderful brunch there. But it's just really neat grounds. They have outdoor stations there, too.
Yes. St. Mary of the Woods has recently been designated a National Historic District.
Oh, neat.
And so almost every building on campus is considered a historic site. It was founded in 1840 by Mother Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
And
about the same time, ironically, that the Taize prayer.
No, that was 1940.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It was 100 years
ago. Sorry, I'm off. I think of those. I always get in trouble when I talk about math. I don't know why.
But the campus itself has the outdoor stations of the cross. There we recently did a YouTube video mm-hmm. of the sacred spaces on ground, and it's a 20-minute video, so something you can look up on YouTube for. It would be a virtual tour of the sacred spaces of St. Mary of the Woods.
Oh, neat!
And it really is an awesome. It shows all the awesome sites that are there. There's a grotto, mm-hmm. A Marian grotto there. The mother house itself, and of course the crown jewel is Mother Theodore's shrine.
Mm.
Mother Theodore is the first Indiana saint. And there is a shrine dedicated for her that if you haven't seen it, it is absolutely beautiful. You walk into a room that's the French decor that would have been what she came from, and go immediately into a bunk that would have been in the ship that she rode for 3 months over the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow. That's really interesting.
And then you can see the beginning of her mission. And then her remains are actually enshrined in there, and in a little chapel. You can go pray. And then coming out, you see what has happened with the sisters and with her community as she has, as time has gone on since mm-hmm. She passed. It's an absolutely gorgeous, and it's worthwhile if anybody has not seen it. St. Mary of the Woods is a place to go.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a peaceful place. And mm-hmm. now, so is that where you were first exposed to Taizé prayer?
Yes.
And then that's how you happened to bring it?
Right. I actually, Father Michael Hoyt was the mm-hmm. pastor at St. Mm-hmm. Michael's, and mm-hmm. he had actually been a member of a French monastery at
okay.
one time. So he was well acquainted with it. And when I came back from a prayer service, I was just really sort of excited mm-hmm. and full of
on
it.
Fire?
So, on fire. And
we can say that on Catholic radio.
And we were talking about it, and he said, you know, I've always wanted to start one here. And I said, I'd be glad to work with you. Mm-hmm. And he said, how about you just take it over? He said, I will. And he put it into my hands. So I did some research at the Woods mm-hmm. and found out how they did theirs. And we've adapted it to fit our parish, because mm-hmm. what happens in one place doesn't always work as well in another.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I've got some very dedicated people on my team that we get together once a month, 2 weeks before the actual scheduled date. Mm-hmm. And we bring together, we usually have a theme set, and then we bring together readings, prayers, anything that we think might enhance it. And we spend a couple of hours sitting mm-hmm. around talking about it, praying about it. Mm-hmm. And we turn it over to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills it. It's not what we do.
Now, different readings each time you meet?
Yes. For instance, tonight we're doing our service tonight, which is this is being taped, so
yeah
so. Is on the seven last words of Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
And so the readings are, we have the scriptural passage that expresses the words, and then the readings that help develop, just short readings, nothing mm-hmm. nothing big, and then time for people to sit and let the Spirit work within mm-hmm. them to bring out what is what word they're going to come away with.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do that on the third Thursday of each month?
The meeting is on the second, and the prayer is on the fourth.
On the fourth Thursday of mm-hmm. each month at St. Michael's.
At St. Michael's.
Now, not only for St. Michael's parishioners only?
It's open to anyone.
You don't even need to be Catholic,
no,
right?
No, it's open to anyone of any faith tradition, and we do have people that come from, we have a Wesleyan church across the street, people have come from that. We have people from Marian University who have come. We don't attract a large crowd,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but it's not in the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's in what the Spirit is going to do within those who are there.
And what's interesting, how do people find out about this? I know it's in the bulletin.
Yes.
How else do you let people know that they can come?
Facebook. Criterion. We've sent out bulletins to other churches and other parishes. We've sent to the there are several churches in our area that we've sent it out to. Word of mouth.
Yeah.
And basically, mm-hmm. for someone listening to the radio right now that is thinking, boy, that sounds like something I would like to experience, just show up.
Just show up. You need to bring nothing.
Nothing.
Just bring yourself. You don't need a Bible. You don't need a songbook. You don't need a rosary. Matter of fact, this is not a time for praying the rosary or doing personal prayers. In that way, it's a time to open up and let God work within you.
Which is kind of nice, because, you know, sometimes you have to worry about, you know, what do I need to bring and all that kind of stuff. So what kind of impact has this type of prayer format had on you? And then what kind of impact have people shared with you that they've taken away from this kind of prayer format?
Well, as far as myself, it's just been a... working on it has been a powerful thing because I've put my mind more into it and realized that it's not anything that I come up with. It's all what the Spirit has to do with it. As a participant, I come away with a deep sense of peace. And you don't have to come away with any major thoughts. You don't have to come away saying, now, tonight I thought about this, or I prayed about this, or God told me this. Mm-hmm. You don't need any of that. It just is the sense of peace that comes within.
Do you feel like it's kind of a, you know, because we are, as Americans, you know, we always have this to-do list, you know.
Agendas.
Do you feel like you can just practice being with God? I mean, do you find it's almost like developing a discipline of just being?
I think, you know, we're used to praying by saying words. We've got to give God a little bit of time to answer back. And so, yes, just not having, trying to empty your mind. That's what the mantras do. That's what the songs do.
So if people wanted to get in contact with you or to find out some more information, maybe they forget the time, tell us the day, the days and the times, and then give your email give the parish email where they can get in contact with you if they want to find out more.
Okay, the prayer in the spirit of Taizé at St. Michael's, which is at 30th and Tibbs, is at 7 o'clock in the evening on the fourth Thursday of each month. It lasts an hour or sometimes even a little bit less. If people would like more information, they can contact our parish secretary at it's rectory@stmichaelindy.org.
My guest today has been Marilyn Roush talking about Taizé prayer. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.